You are back with the conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. You know, this year has been a year of firsts with so many legal challenges being laid around the election and the polarization of parties rising up to the high court. We talked to the new UH Law School Dean, Camille Nelson, who was selected this spring following Avi Soifer's retirement after 17 years. She talked with us just before a session with law students was going to take place last week.
As we work through this moment that's really a historical moment, I think we realize that, you know, one person can make a difference for good or for bad or to be on the sidelines. I mean, I think it's a moment where people are not just observers. I mean, people are participating and raising their voices and recognizing that voting is a right and a responsibility and recognizing that, frankly, the power of the law, the role of lawyers, the eminent role of judges as jurists and shapers of our democracy. So I think this is a moment of elevation in a way in terms of national discourse and democratic discourse. So if anything, I mean, I think it's been an empowering time for people's individual participation in systems and structures that shape our everyday, but also shape our future.
And I'm just thinking, you know, gosh, I would love to be in on the discussions at the law school at this point in time.
Right. Well, you know, as a matter of fact, we're having a really interesting discussion today, and we'll be having another discussion after the election around, I think we called it, you know, what's at stake about this historical moment in terms of voting. So, you know, as I conceptualized it, I didn't want us to delve into like political ideology, but I did want us to talk about the legal impacts of the election. So we're having an open panel with some leading experts, and we will be doing more things like that because I think it's important for the community and it's important for our law students. And we certainly have a number of incredible thinkers at the school, but it's, you know, it's about that discourse and how we engage with it. It was conceptualized as a conversation. I wanted to be honest at first instance to make sure our students were recognizing this moment in terms of legal dialogue and discourse and how important, frankly, their future roles will be.
I guess for the students who are studying law now there at the university, it is really a historic time, you know, and yeah. I know, you know, many of the professors there and your predecessor had a personal relationship with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and that loss, I'm sure, is just deeply felt. She came to lecture there, and there were folks that were very excited to be able to have that opportunity to meet her.
Absolutely. And she was incredibly generous with her time, both at the law school and at local high schools, for example. So to me, that indicates that she cared deeply about the future and the future generations of legal leaders, I like to call them. So, you know, the fact that she, with all of the demands on her time, took time to sit with students and to encourage them, I think speaks volumes about her commitments and, frankly, her support of future generations of lawyers. And certainly Dean Soifer had a wonderful relationship with Justice Ginsburg. When I was still in D.C., she was at my former school in November celebrating a former colleague. And she's just one of those people who was so giving and generous with her time, always in service of encouraging and lifting people up so that they, too, could make a difference. We grieve her loss, like many people.
And what is it that you think will be important for the law school going forward? You know, we are in a time where the country is so divided on so many issues, you know, whether it be race, you know, or politics, or just our Constitution and our democracy.
You know, so first and foremost right now is making sure we're all safe and sound during the pandemic. And frankly, that has intersected through, as you know, everything we do, the way we deliver our education, the way we meet, the way we convene, like even this, obviously this conversation I referred to that will be taking place around the election is through Zoom. But when we emerge from this pandemic, we want to emerge stronger because I don't think the pre-pandemic February 2020 status quo will hold. So we have to continue to think about how we sort of lift our voices and enhance our participation in things that matter be those constitutional questions, policing or criminal justice, criminal legal system questions, you know, questions about climate justice. I mean, what are the pressing issues of the day, but also how we engage them and through what mechanisms? So how does the technology and the communication look around that, right? I think we know now as well that people can attend classes and work remotely and online, and are we ready for that new reality, right? What does our what do our classrooms look like if we plan for 20 years from now? But, you know, my main thing is always making sure the students understand that they are tomorrow's leaders, and I can't say that enough. So they, too, will be participating in really important ways in shaping this state's future and this country's future and how the world engages in the next several decades. It's their time. And I think that our job as educators is to make sure that we do what we ought to responsibly to support them, to take those take that baton and accelerate and really amplify their voices, because I think this moment as well, we've seen that the young people, the Gen Zers and the millennials, are sort of participating and they're activated. And we want to make sure they're activated and participating with great legal skills. That's my job. And that's our job at Richardson, to make sure they harness the power of the law to do great work and to do great things in service of the state and the country and beyond.
It has been very disheartening to see the discourse and the emotion and the disrespect. I mean, we all can have differences of opinion, but, you know, it's the civility, I think, that, you know, it just, it pains me anyway when I hear that we have to shout at each other. It's just, it's kind of sad.
And thank you for saying that. You know, I feel the exact same way. And I've said it so many times now, I wonder if people hear it, you know, when I've been speaking locally. But, you know, civility is important. And it bespeaks professionalism and respect. And if we can't disagree even respectfully, what chance do we have of truly hearing each other, right? And, you know, one of the tenets I've said of mindfulness is listening to learn, not just to respond. And sometimes that's really hard for lawyers, because we're listening to think about how we juxtapose or intervene or intercept and, you know, strategically posture, as opposed to actually absorbing what someone is saying out of respect and thinking about it and contemplating and then trying to think how we can work together. And frankly, also how you can serve your client. But it doesn't mean sort of canceling someone, right? And it doesn't mean disrespecting someone. And it certainly doesn't mean yelling at someone or name calling. So I think there has been a tone setting, frankly, from the highest levels that we're going to have to readjust to do better, and by better I mean to be more appreciative and respectful of each other, because, you know, also the young people are listening and watching, and if we don't engage civilly and professionally and respectfully with each other, we're also setting a tone and modeling for them. And it's, I don't think it's ever appropriate to be vicious and nasty, and some of what we've seen is beyond discourteous. And it's damaging.
Now, I know you're just coming on board here at the University of Hawaii. You know, you've been here before. But, I mean, is there anything that you just want to share that you're struck by?
You know, I'm struck by the embrace and the real recognition that community matters. And you know, I know it might seem trite, but Ohana matters in the sense that people talk more openly here than many places where I've lived. And, you know, I've been fortunate to live in a number of places, but people speak more openly here about family and community and the local as crucial to the national. And they recognize the sort of power of relationships and the healing that can come from that, or the fracture that can come from that, in a way that I think in some places that's seen as soft. Those are soft variables. And they're not. They're what matters. Like, that's the day-to-day, and those relationships and those families and those communities are what sort of allow us to thrive and to do whatever it is we believe we're called to do. So I've always loved that recognition, and frankly, it resonates with me as a Jamaican, because there's a similar orientation around, you know, ancestors and family and culture and community that has always sort of spoken to my heart here. And I think when you can speak to your heart and connect it with your mind, then you can really do great things. But I think to not recognize that, you know, our hearts also have to be nourished and our souls have to be replenished is to ignore really crucial parts of ourselves. So I feel that there's a more holistic approach to our humanity here that I hope doesn't sound Pollyannish, but it's always inspired me. Ultimately, when we emerge from this pandemic, I very much want to continue to build on the relationships that have been laid down in terms of foundationally with the practicing bar and the practicing bench. And I want to make sure that the law school is positioned competitively and advantageously for the heightened competition that will come out of the pandemic. That involves infrastructure, that involves technology, that involves person power, and it certainly involves making sure that we are elevating the way we support our students so that they can compete for professional opportunities that will be even more competitive when people are competing from distant places as well as near places. I see us emerging in a more competitive world because I think now what we used to think before was like, oh, we can't do these things remotely and people can't work in these ways and people can't study in these ways, or can they? And we question things. I think now we know that this is a possibility and it's our reality. And I don't think all of this is going to disappear. So what the world looks like, I think, is going to be more competitive in the coming years. And we have to get ready for that. And we have to invest and think strategically accordingly.
That was Camille Nelson, who took over as dean of the UH Law School following Avi Soifer's retirement after 17 years at the helm. For links to the law school, go to our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.